If you've got your Bible, stand with me tonight. We'll read together in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. And I promise it won't take me long. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Brother Jim, would you ask God's blessings on the word?
Father in heaven, again we bow to praise you and thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced. Thank you, Lord God, for the worship of the saints of God. Thank you, Lord, for this assembly this evening. And now our Father, Lord, your servant is standing in a place where you absolutely cannot stand alone. And Father, we pray, God, that you'll give him utterance and unction like he's never experienced before. I pray, give him instant recall. Lord God, would you help him, Lord, and illuminate his mind and heart, our Father. Give him, I pray, Lord God, that unction that he needs to preach the word of God, and give us receptive wills and spirits, God, to receive it. Lord, you give good glory and honor to your name, and we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. You know, I got to looking at this, and Brother Tom Robinson from Luray, Virginia, was here, and I believe it was Tuesday morning. He showed all of the pictures, and he told about the feast, and talked about the trip that he and I had made to Israel. Well, there's a lot of things that we saw there over the 10 days that we were there. What a blessing to go and walk some of the places where our Lord visited. One of the things that amazed me the most, and one of the things that I wanted to see, was the Sea of Galilee. And we took a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, and I began to look, and I thought about that sea, how we'd read about it so many times in the Word of God, and it's about 7 miles in width and maybe 13 miles from end to end, from north to south, and it's at the base of those mountains, and you've heard it preached time and time again, how the wind currents will mix, and all of a sudden there'll be a tragic storm suddenly come up on that sea. And here was Jesus in this passage of Scripture, and he had sent them out, and he had gone up to the mountain to pray. And we read other stories in the Scripture where he was on board the ship, and he commanded the winds and to cease, and you've read the stories. But here, Brother Frank, is a story where Jesus was up on the mountain praying, and he looked out, and the Bible says that he saw them toiling and rowing. Now, it wasn't like being on the sea today when the storm comes up. If you're out in the Gulf Stream, that you can drop down a couple of 225 twin engines and rev them things up and come back. They were out there rowing. I don't know how many of you here, has anybody here ever been in a storm on the sea? Anybody? I have. I've been out in the Gulf Stream and a storm came up, and I had to get inside the cabin and hope that thing would get back. And then probably one of the dumbest things I ever did was my wife and I bought a 14-foot boat. That's short, by the way. And you realize how short it is if you don't have any better sense than to take a 14-foot boat and go down to Harker's Island and put it in the sound and go out to the lighthouse. The Lord will show you real quickly that you don't have a boat, you've got a glorified bathtub. Now, listen, I knew I was in trouble that day because I went out there and everybody else was going out to the boat slip and they were climbing up on their vessels. Well, it dawned on me that I might have a problem when I had to sit down on the dock and slide down into my boat and go out. And then not only was it a 14-foot boat, but I had the nerve to put me and my wife and our son and my brother in that 14-foot boat. And we got out there. It was so dangerous. The game warden was going around checking everybody, see what they'd caught. He wouldn't even come up beside our boat. He just looked at me. He said, "Hey, how many fish you got?" He wouldn't even pull up beside me, Brother Frank. And we got up there, and you know what happened? My brother and our son went back. We got caught in a storm, and I said, "Lord, if you'll help me get this boat back to the dock, I promise you I'll never bring it back out here." Now, I sat there. I gave my wife a life jacket. I took a life jacket. I hung a whistle around my neck. I said, "Honey, if this little boat capsizes, just swim to the left or swim to the right. Get on a sandbar. Somebody feel sorry for us and come and get us." I sit out there, and all of a sudden, God answered my prayer. A boat came around the end of that island. It was a great old big boat. He looked over there at me. I can only imagine what he was thinking. And I told my wife, I said, "If I can get behind the wake in that boat, if I can get in his wake, I'll ride to the marina." And you know what? That's exactly what I did. He looked over at me, and he slowed down, let me get behind him. I pulled behind that boat, and you know they named their boats, right? Well, on the back of that boat, right across that boat, it said, "Child of the King." The Lord answered my prayer, came to my rescue. But I'm going to tell you what, being on the sea in a storm is a dangerous thing. Now, I wasn't there to see those things. You know, there's been a lot of songs that have been written. I wish that I'd been able to sing. I wish I'd been able to write a lot of those songs, how God moves on the hearts of those. And they can write songs and they can tell about their experiences. I didn't see a lot of the miracles, but can I tell you something today? I saw a miracle in the mirror, and I see one every day when I get up and look in it and realize what the Lord did in my life. But I want to tell you something. There's storms that come our way. Listen, you can get saved. And in Rocky Mount, we got a local station called Channel 17. You can cut that on and listen. You can get everything in the world. You'll get these preachers that'll smile at you, tell you to look in the mirror and hug yourself. And if you'll send a seed, God's going to prosper you. They'll tell you when you get saved, all you got to do is get on the gospel gravy train, praise God, and ride it all the way into the portals of glory. Well, I found out they're deceiving some folks. Say amen right there. Does anybody in here know what storms are? Do you know what troubles are? Job said, "Man, this born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble." Everybody in here can say, "Hey, preacher, I know what troubles are." They come to every single one of us. I think about storms. They come suddenly. Sickness comes suddenly. Tragedy comes suddenly. Death comes suddenly. You never know what's going to happen when the phone rings. The Bible says that for you and me, that through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean we're free from storms. It doesn't mean we're free from trials. But the Word of God said, "My grace is sufficient." Yeah. Amen. Right. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Can I tell you something? I called your pastor Saturday night and was a moaning and a groaning over the phone, telling him I couldn't come because there was a sudden storm that came up in my family. And that grandbaby that was here last night, it knocked the wind out of me because it involved my family and my children. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but God spoke to my heart and He said, "How in the world are you going to preach and tell people that God's grace is sufficient if you can't pull yourself up out of the mud you're in, square your shoulders, go to the house of God and trust Him and believe Him that He's going to bring you through the storm?" Listen, hey, y'all awake up there. Listen, I can't come sit down beside you, praise God. I want to tell you something. These storms are real. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody in here tonight that can say, "Preacher, I've been through some things that I know had it not been for the grace of God, I would have never made it"? Is there anybody here? Stick that hand up high. I know it was by the grace of God I got through it. Listen, God called me to pastor that church and rock him out. I want to tell you something. The Bible says that if you're a child of God, that just as soon as you're saved, Brother Frank, that we go on the battlefield. and we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Listen, I thought that when I took that church, praise God, I was going to go pastor. What a job, amen. Go fishing, play golf. Somebody lied to me. I get to fish once in a while, and I'm still learning how to play golf. But I found out that I have to study every day, every day, every day. And I found out just as soon as I surrendered to go up there and take that church, that it was an immediate onslaught attack of Satan. My wife has always been healthy. I've always been healthy. All of a sudden, when they voted us in the very first Sunday that I went as their new pastor, I'm going up Highway 64 by myself, and my wife is sick and not able to go. And I'm thinking, what in the world, Brother Jim, have I got myself into? I began to ride up the road, and I put a CD in, and there was a song that came on that says, God takes real good care of me. And old Jake Hess was singing it. Me and the Lord had a good old shouting fit going up Highway 64. My wife has been sick. She has dermatomyositis. Try to pronounce that three times. It's a terminal sickness. There's no cure for it. How many of you have heard of that? Necrotizing fasciitis, the flesh-eating disease that has killed several in this state. My wife went to Duke Hospital, had a biopsy in her arm. They didn't close up the wound. She had necrotizing fasciitis in her arm. Her arm turned just as red as that and swelled up as big as my leg. I took her to Duke Hospital from Rocky Mount because they said, get her to Duke. I watched that germ in her arm literally grow and begin to go up her arm. If anybody noticed her arm this week, she's had several skin grafts. They took her in the hospital. They did 5 surgeries on her, and I sat by her bedside, and Brother Jim, I didn't know she's going to live. I'm going to tell you something. It's an unnerving thing to sit there and look at your wife or your husband and look at them and see if they're still breathing and sit there and pray and say, God, please spare my wife. I need her. I know what a storm is like. But you know what she told me? I went in there. They did 5 different surgeries on her at Duke Hospital. She was in isolation. She had tubes and everything coming out of her. I sat there by her bedside, and I told her I loved her. I wouldn't leave her. I held her hand. And you know what she told me, Brother Frank? I'm sitting in there, my nerves all to pieces. She didn't bat an eye. And by the way, she doesn't complain to this day. She takes 10 pills every Sunday night, methotrexate. It's a chemotherapy drug. She's on enough pills, praise God, she don't need to eat. She could put them in a slice of bread and live off of them. But I was in the hospital room with her. She looked at me and she said, honey, she said, don't you worry. She said, I've got peace. God came and spoke to my heart. She said, it's all right. I've got peace. I said, well, honey, I'm glad you've got it, because I want God to give me that same peace. And she lay in that hospital bed, and God touched her, and for 12 days I sat by her side, and God brought her through it. It's been one storm after another. I want to tell you something. Storms come up, and they come suddenly, and they never come at a convenient time, and they'll wreak havoc in your home, in your family, and your children. Brother Wayne Warren was here this week. They tell me if you go through life, I've got a lot of acquaintances, and I've got a few friends. Brother Frank, you and Brother Jim are 2 of them. They say if you can count your friends on one hand, that you've accomplished something. Brother Wayne Warren is a dear friend. He got sick suddenly. All of a sudden, goes to the doctor and finds out that he's got stage 4 cancer. You know what that means in layman's terms? It means you're dying. It means there's no hope. Well, they got him straightened out, and then what? But just a few weeks ago, I got a telephone call. He went to the hospital. He had pneumonia, and he had shingles. No, the deadly disease, meningitis. He was laying in the hospital room. He was laying in there talking out of his head. I prayed. I said, God, I want you to spare him. He's a prayer warrior. He prays for me. He prays for Harvest Baptist Church. I want to tell you, if you've got somebody that's praying for you, not saying I'm going to pray for you, I'm talking about if you've got literally somebody that's falling and interceding on your behalf, you've got a precious gift. Yeah. The storm came. I went up there. There was his little mama in the room, 87-year-old mama in there, and there's her son dying. And the doctors told the family that there was nothing they could do. And I left the service in Rocky Mount, went to Nash Hospital, and I walked in and I stood in there, Brother Frank with his mama and his wife and Brother Wayne talking out of his head. And I read this scripture. I read this scripture right here in Isaiah chapter 43. Now, there'll be some brilliant scholar in here tonight that'll probably say, well, preacher, that's talking about Israel. It is, praise God, talking about Israel, but it's talking about me too. Amen. Because I'm redeemed. I'm one of his. He said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, there shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Look, I'm going to tell you something. When you get caught in the middle of the storm, you'll start going to the Word of God. You'll start calling out on God. And listen, there's not a thing in the world wrong with reading the Word of God out loud and saying, hey, God, hey, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. And stand right there and say, God, this is what it says right here, and I'm a standing on it. I'm talking about storms. Everybody in this tent tonight knows what storms are about. I had a little lady in my church, 31 years old. 31. Blonde hair, blue eyes, absolutely beautiful young lady. Her husband was 28 years old. They had 4 children. Doorsteps. She was stricken with cancer. Brother Jim, I walked with that family through the treatments. 31 years old, she had a ruptured bowel. She was so eat up with cancer, the doctors told her they could go in and repair the bowel, but it would still be no hope for her. She was so weak, she couldn't go through the surgery. Her little boy wrote letters to God, and I got one. What do you do when you got a letter from a 9-year-old little boy and it says, dear God, please don't take my mama. Please don't let my nanny get sick. I need her. How do you answer those children when a family's going through those storms? Her husband was out on the road in a truck and she was nearing death. She refused the surgery. The doctor said, you need to get in touch with her husband. Brother Jim, I got in touch with him. He's a truck driver. I drove a truck for over 30 years. I found out where he was at. I knew how long it'd take him to get to the exit on Interstate 95 at Rocky Mount. We timed it within 15 minutes. I went and met him and picked him up. I didn't tell him on the phone how serious it was. But can you imagine getting in the car and trying to find the words to tell a 28-year-old young man that his wife is about to pass on into eternity? We went in the motel room. I went in there and sat down beside him and his wife for just a moment because I was going to go out and give them some time. He looked at me. He said, preacher, he said, I don't understand. He said, why? He said, why? I didn't have an answer. But I said, you know what? I said, here's the thing. The storms come, and we don't know why. But the one thing that we do know is Jesus made a promise, and He makes all the difference in the world. If we'll trust Him and believe Him, He gives us eternal, everlasting life. I said, I can't answer that. I don't know why. I said, but I can tell you this. I said, through this, I've baptized you. I've baptized her. I've baptized all these children. And when we had the funeral that day at the church was packed. That little girl, she was about 5 or 6 years old, just barely tall enough to go up to that casket, Brother Jim, put her little hands up there. And everybody stood back and let that baby go look at her mama. And you know, the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes. That little baby went up there, looked in that casket, she looked at her mama, and she just turned around and looked at everybody that was standing back there, and she pointed up and she said, "Mama went to heaven." Amen. Amen. And you know, when I went to Rocky Mount, I want to tell you something. I shared that this morning. There's only 14 people when I went there. Ever since we moved in the new sanctuary in January of 06, since 06 until now, I've preached 19 funerals for members of Harvest Baptist Church. The storms come. The sickness comes. The tragedy comes. You know, I thought about that mama that was laying there, and I shared with the family, thank God for the promises of God. Amen. We don't have anything else. You understand me? Everything else that we've got here is temporary. There's an eternity, honey. There's death that's coming. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and you've got an opportunity to make a choice. But thank God. I'm getting tired of folks saying my loved one died. I thought about Brother Gary Hill. I didn't get to meet him but a couple of times. But you know what? He didn't die. Amen. He didn't. There's an old song the Kingsmen used to sing. You probably remember this. And I thought about it, and I've used it several times when I preached a funeral. And the words of that song, part of that song in the chorus or somewhere says, "Don't feel sorry for me, for I've caught a vision of heavenly things. Things that last forever." I can't get that high. "I'm not dying. I'm just going home to live." Listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And I've thought about our church family and my family and the storms that we've been through and everything that's taken place. And look, there's sickness. There's all kinds of hardships. There's financial problems. You may be here tonight and you may be facing the loss of your job. I don't know what it is, but can I tell you something? You're a redeemed, purchased possession. You belong to the Savior. And the psalmist said, "I've been young and now I'm old. I've not forsaken nor deceived begging bread. God takes real good care of me." And can I tell you something? Once in a while, He sends you into the storm. There's another song that says, "Sometimes He calms the storm and sometimes He calms me." Amen. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Sometimes the only way God can get us off of our hard-headed resting place is to get us into a storm where we've got to lean on Him and trust Him. It's one thing to talk the talk, and it's another thing, praise God, to walk it. Amen. Look, I got storms right now in my family. See, not only is He a God of salvation, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Yeah. It's like that buffet. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. God has met with us this week in this tent. He helped me. Wednesday night, I'm sitting right here. Wednesday night, I mean, God showed up and touched my heart. I mean, I just thought, praise God, everybody was just shouting it out and having a time. I got up here and got to praying. God just broke my heart and gave me what I needed. I'm talking about, David said, praise God, my cup runneth over. He opened up the windows of heaven, and friend, He saturated my soul. And you know what? I was in utter shock, because at the end of the service, when they said amen, I turn around and there's nobody here. What in the world happened? Look, Jesus has a table spread. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. He's put it right there. He's not going to force you to eat. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Jesus makes the difference. Amen. Look, it don't make sense. It's not logical. People will think you're a fanatic. Praise God, I am a fanatic. I know I hadn't got good sense, but I got, praise God, enough sense to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because He has never let me down. Listen, I trusted God to resign our job. I shared that this morning. Turned our resignations in, resigned our jobs, making great money. Went to Rocky Mount to a church with 14 people in a rented building that wanted to build a church. I'd never pastored a church. I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. People said, "You're crazy." I went to the VA to get benefits. I had to fill out an application. I had to put down my previous year's salary. The guy looked at my previous year's salary. He said, "You don't qualify." He said, I know what he was thinking. "Why did you leave this to go and take this?" Well, I wanted to ask him, what did I make last year got to do with the need I've got right now? But you know what? God outsmarted the federal government. God just said, "Son, I'm going to keep you healthy." Amen. I ain't been sick since I've been there, praise God. He supplies your needs in the storms. You know, when my wife went in the hospital, we went up there and took that church. They're going to rent us a house after a year and a half because they didn't want us driving. And I said, "No, I don't want to do that." House rent was going to be $1,100 a month just to rent a small house. I said, "Let's do this. Let's just buy a cheap, used mobile home." I found a single-wide mobile home that had put new carpet in it. We painted it. We paid $10,500 for it, and within 2 years, it paid for itself. And I said, "So instead," now this is God's divine providence in speaking to an old dumb country boy like me. I said, "Instead of doing that, let's take the difference in what you'd pay in rent." And we got lot rent for $110, been there for 6 years now. "Let's take the difference and buy an insurance policy for me and my wife." That hospital bill at Duke Hospital was $240,000. Had it not been for God giving some direction, we'd be ruined. Every single storm that's come, there's a purpose for it. Sometimes God takes you through some things in your life to enhance your relationship with Him. How can you appreciate the mountaintop if you've never been through the valley? There's a new song, I say new, relatively new. Things look different from the shepherd's point of view. Oh, what a song that is. I found out something. He's never taken me anywhere that He's left me. Bible says that He go with me all the way, even to the end. See, not only will He be with you, but He'll restore. You know, I didn't know how I was going to preach that message this morning. It was kind of impromptu, and Brother Frank asked me to preach, and I shared the testimony about my life, and I don't have time to do that tonight, but I'll share this with you. Not only will God supply your need, but friend, God will restore to you what your ungodly living has cost you. Can I tell you something? A lot of the storms we go through are self-inflicted. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He just about destroyed my life because I gave myself over to alcohol, and alcohol destroyed me until one day Jesus showed up on that stormy sea. You see, when Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, He could have spoken the word, but He didn't. He came to them. He came to me. He came to me that day. I was sitting in a drunken stupor. People say, "God don't do that." I know absolutely well He does. He came to me. He came to me and convicted me sitting right there. My life was wasted. I was going through the biggest storm I had ever gone through, and I went into it headlong on my own. Lost everything, Brother Jim, that I had. I was broken down to absolutely nothing. And then Jesus passed by and gave me another opportunity. There's a passage of Scripture that says this. He says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten and the cankerworm." God said, "You know what? I'm going to restore everything to you that the ungodly living is taken from you. The thief has come to steal and kill and destroy." And he did that and practically destroyed my home. I'd gone through the storms. I'd put my family through the storms. But yet I had a little wife that stuck by my side. Why? I don't know. But he came walking out on the water in the midst of that storm, and he brought healing to a drunk, and he established his feet and did something inside of him that's lasting and eternal, and he's never left me since. He came to me. Squire Parson wrote that song, said, "He came to me when I was bound in the chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and he drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. I've made good money. I've been all over this world. I've been privileged to do a lot of things. And you know what? I didn't do nothing but make an absolute mess of my life. And I've found out something. Ever since I've committed my life to the Lord Jesus, there's still been storms. There's still been hardships. But praise God, there's been a Savior by my side every step of the way. And I've had enough nerve to look up and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I need some help." And tell him, praise God, the truth, like you preached Wednesday night. Don't come in here made up, looking like you're somebody. I want to impress somebody. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. We may as well tell him the truth. And the truth is, every one of us in here tonight ought to fall on our faces and come crawling up here, because there's not one of us in here that deserves salvation. For God so loved you that he gave his son to die in your place. Amen. The storms come. You can't stop them. But I'm glad when he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Squire Parson said in that song, "Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea as he did in days of old." Brother Eric, would you come to the piano? I asked everybody in here a while ago just a simple, honest question. I said, how many of you have been through something that you knew it was only by the grace of God that you came through that storm? Hands went up all over this building. I want to ask you something else tonight. This is the last meeting night of this tent meeting. I wonder tonight, even sitting here right now, how many may be sitting underneath this old red and white tent that be willing right now? Hey, God knows. You just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm in a storm right now." Right now. I wonder how many be willing to say that. Look, you may as well be honest. God knows your heart. How many in here right now say, "Preacher, I'm in a storm right now. I've got both hands up." Amen. Are you telling the truth? If you're telling the truth, and there won't be three or four hands went up, I need to move to this county. I need to move up here.